Blog Talk Radio.
I love that instrumental. Hey guys, what's going on? It's Shane with Getting Sauce Radio of Drippers Barbecue. What's going on? It's been a crazy week, folks. Just wanted to glad to finally get here and get to the show. We got a cool one lined up for you. This is episode number 22. It's July 25th. We're 6 days from my birthday, and I am getting old. What happened? How did this happen? I can't believe we're all back to my birthday again. All right. Anyway, this is episode number 22. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening via download, this was July 25th. How about that? If you're still on your iPod and listen to it in a week or two from now. Welcome to our little slice of the internet. I'm your host, Shane Draper, Draper's Barbecue. We ask all the time. In fact, I got asked from a magazine this week, what is it would you say you do? And you know, I had to answer back, I don't know that I can answer that. I think the real question is, what is it we don't do? Man, we do everything. If it's barbecue related, we do it. We try it. We try to make it happen. And sometimes we do it well. Sometimes we don't do it so well. Sometimes we fake it till we make it. And that's okay, too. If you're not already signed into our chat room, come on in. We got a decent crowd tonight. We got a few folks in there. See some folks I've never seen before, so must be Don P. from St. Louis. His crew coming in and hanging out. As don't know, we got some cool guests flying tonight. Jason Baker, Green Mountain Grills, is going to be here to talk about Green Mountain Grills and pellets and their impact on the world of barbecue. And you know, it seems like everybody that's buying a pit nowadays is buying a pellet pit. That's a bad thing. That's not a criticism. I don't want. Well, there's going to be some big change coming up for Draper's Barbecue that we're going to be announcing in a couple weeks. But, we'll let you know that we're obviously serious about, you know, pellet pits and some of the things that's going on. But, you know, my take on this whole barbecue thing is, to be a true pit master nowadays, you need to be able to cook just about anything on anything. And I really do mean that. You know, I get real frustrated with these guys that say, well, you can only cook on a stick burner. You know what? I was one of those guys. You know, we've got an old hickory, and you guys know that's propane-fired pit that, you know, blows propane, you know, flame on charcoal or wood. In our case, we used to use straight wood pretty much in our old hickory CTO. And it produces a fantastic product. I have two buddies, Malcolm Reed and Big JT. Well, Big JT switched to Jambo now, but and those dudes kick much butt with the CTO on the circuit. Much butt. Got nothing but props for the CTO. It's why I bought one. You know, by the same token, you know, the GMG, you know, it's a great pellet pit. There's other great pellet pits. Some of my best friends are kicking my tail every week on a pellet pit. So I got nothing bad to say about them. It's all how you work that flavor profile and that process into what it is you do in a competition. The fact of the matter is that sleep's getting to be a premium, and we're all getting old. We damn sure ain't getting prettier. So most of us need our beauty sleep, and that's why a lot of these old boys are going to pellet pits. I still will tell you that my favorite cooking, if I'm just cooking for the enjoyment of cooking, I'm going to get out a stick burner. Because that is my kinship to barbecue. That was my first experience with barbecue, is my grandfather burning down wood and making coal and that under a old block pit and do barbecue that way. That to me is like the purest form of barbecue. And that's what I always think of as kind of real barbecue, not to offend anyone who's doing anything different. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I came across a quote a couple months ago, and I added to my signature for the company. It says, "Tradition is tending the flame, not worshiping the ashes." It's by Gustav Muller. And, there's a lot of truth to that. Guys, as this whole thing advances, and it marches forward with or without us, you know, it's our job to tend flame. Not necessarily worship the ashes of how our grandfather did or how his grandfather did it or Uncle Bob did it with with a 24-pack of Bud Light and a whole bottle of life fluid. It's an evolution, and this barbecue thing has become a revolution in American culture. I mean, this used to be very much a counterculture thing, and you had to be borderline crazy to spend the kind of money that we do on these contraptions that don't do anything but cook. I mean, let's think about that. The cheapest pit that you're going to get that's big enough to competition on is probably a DSM, and you're probably going to need three of those. I know very few guys are skilled enough to do full competition on one WSM. So the reality is that while I say you can do it on a WSM, I say two to three of them, and that's going to put you at, let's say $600 right there. Well, if you're at $600, and unless you're Harry Sue, like Andy Allen just mentioned, Harry Sue's the barbecue master, but you're at $600. If I'm at $600, I may as well go to $800. And get something that's automated that allows me to sleep, that takes some of the fudge out of the barbecue. And that's what all these automated pits do. You know, you either go buy a green egg and put a blower on it. You've made it at that point, I think, all these ceramic heads out there, let's call it what it is, and I've had this argument with Mike. Once you put a blower on a ceramic pit, what's the difference between that and a pellet cooker? Well, nothing. Nothing really. It's just fuel. They're automated at that point. You put a blower on anything, it will be a pellet pit. So why not just buy a pellet pit? And by the same token, we went through this thought process. Well, the pit we would like is 800. Well, now let's go to 1,000. Well, we're at 1,000. Let's look at stuff that we can tow behind. Boom, we're 3,000. And we have pits ranging in price that we own. From that, $800 level all the way up to $5,000. And they fit the range of needs that we have. So, I really want to take hold of this whole pellet thing and kind of dispel some myths and embrace it a little more than I have been. You guys have had a Gorilla pellet pit for about 9 months now, somewhere in there. It's a great unit. Got nothing bad to say about it. It could be bigger. It doesn't fit all my needs competition-wise. But as far as a pit to put on your patio, that thing rocks. It's very pricey. Very pricey for its size. But it's a great pit. And I think that's where maybe GMG is nestled themselves right dead in the middle. They're a great price point. They're a very feature-rich product. They have tons of features in them and tons of options. And they work. well, if you've got that, you've got 99.9% of what you need to become a successful company. So that's why I wanted to have Jason on and really get in depth in that. I know he's been on Chad Ward's radio show, and I know he now, or GMG now, sponsors Greg Rimpey's show, the little microphone placard there. So good for GMG for putting themselves out there and really, in my opinion, they're in that that third phase of marketing where they've got a proven product, and man, now they're really getting after it, and they're getting after the community, and they're going after not just diehards. They're going after everybody, and they're really going to replace. If you don't watch it, you'll see them replace companies like Traeger. No one talks about Traeger much anymore, and the reason why is because their quality took a huge dip. Huge. Build quality is just. There's only two types of Traegers. You got the older ones when they're built in the USA, they're still running, or you got the newer ones that were cheap and they have problems. And I'll leave it at that. That's a good or bad thing. But I don't get into, you know, we'll get into that with Jason when he gets on board. We also have Don Parr lined up. If you guys don't know Don, you will. Don is building a little distribution empire up in St. Louis. He's helped a lot of products get started up in that area. He is solely responsible for us breaking into that market. And I wanted to have him on and get his perspective on why he's doing what he's doing, how he's doing what he's doing. And maybe he can give us, sauce manufacturers, some tips on how to get in these stores. And I know it's, some stores are tough, man. Every store we've gotten into, save for like three, it's required someone walking in there. Phone calls. Calls, emails, sales, not always enough to do it. And that's where a guy like Don becomes invaluable. I mean, Don, you guys saw my post about being out of rub. You know what's the chance for us to be out of rub? Don. Don put us on a bunch of store shelves about 10 times faster than I thought he would, to be quite frank. And then that fire, the St. Louis market lit a fire into the Kansas City market, and all of a sudden, boom, we went to a bunch of stores in Kansas City all of a sudden, you know, and now I've got other markets called, you know, Colorado's coming up, Pennsylvania just called, you know, and it's all really Don was kind of the catalyst of that, and it gets people talking about the product, and that's what it's all about. So I really want to get him on. He carries sauce, rubs, different products, but he's really kind of a barbecue product guru, and he's got a long history of sales, and I really want to cover that with him. Before we get on with Jason, if you guys want to call in any comments, you can call it 347-202-0263. You can always follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at DrapersBBQ on Twitter. Facebook.com/DrapersBBQ on Facebook. You can email Shane at DrapersBBQ.com. I keep my email open during the show. But don't want to miss this one. There's a lot. There's going to be a lot of info that if you're a sauce rub maker or a pit maker, manufacturer, you're going to want to listen to this show. So I'm guaranteed there's going to be a lot of great info. Before we get to Jason, what about these meat rakes, folks? Chris doing one bang-up job with these things. If you don't know the little meat rake, I really believe they're the best handheld product on the market for pulling pork, chicken, beef. They have 8 stainless steel tines. They don't rust. They don't corrode. They got great ergonomic design with a non-slip grip on the handle to get your hand up out of that 200-degree Boston butt when you're trying to pull it. Dishwasher safe. They have protective covers. I mean, I just can't say enough about these things. For $20, they are phenomenal. If you don't have a pair, you need to get a pair. If you're looking for a great gift to give someone, $20, go order a few sets and keep them stashed away. I mean, I highly recommend it. They're a perfect gift for anyone, barbecue or not. These things are great for, we'll roast a chicken in the oven and we'll the chicken for enchiladas or whatever. They're not just a barbecue product. They're a product for protein, for meat in general, and they do a great job. They're easy to use. They're fantastic. Check them out. Meatrakes.com. finger in your food and rake some. All right, let's rush on over to the hotline and see if we got Jason. If I can unmute his mic here. Jason, you sir.
Shane, how are you?
Hey, how you, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
So I don't know how much of the intro you caught, but I kind of went on a minor tangent about pellet pits and the entire pellet market. So I'm glad to have you on, man.
It's great to be here. I appreciate you taking time with me as well.
Oh no, my pleasure. And you're getting a lot of props in the chat room. In fact, I think it was Andy Allen of Rooftop who said Jason is just the doing a good job social networking and marketing, and you guys are just turning into a juggernaut. So that's a lot of kudos.
I appreciate that very much, very, very much. And Andy's Rooftop's a great supporter as well, and they're doing a great job out there on the circuit.
Well, let's start there. A lot of the guys in the chat room are competition-focused guys. If you don't mind name drop a little bit, who are some of the teams that are out there winning week to week with GMG products?
Yeah, so right now I would say the top three are definitely Rooftop, that you guys would know, Rooftop for sure. Bare Naked out of Alaska just won his GC. He placed 3 seconds for the state championship there in Alaska and is on his way to the Jack. And then you got Chad Ward, obviously, a great supporter of GMG as well from Whiskey
Red. Right.
So I'd say those are the top three that I'll name drop right now.
Yeah. I'm going to read you a quick quote from Andy. He just threw in the chat room, and I want to get your take on it. I love getting manufacturer direct feedback because as a manufacturer, I think it's invaluable. Andy's quote was, "Our score shot up when we went to the pellets. I think because the amount of sleep we get now and the number of arguments between teammates went down as well." Do you hear that a lot of your product?
I do. Yeah, we definitely do hear that a lot. And obviously, having that controller hold that temp for hours on end, making sure that you just have pellets in there, makes it a lot easier for guys to do that. Sure.
Right. Now, what I'm seeing in the market, and this is coming firsthand from our vice president, Mike Owens. He owns the gym, Bowie, and he loves it. He rides me all the time. I don't have one. But I hear him talk about you guys as in the way that Trey was talking about, say, 5 years ago. You guys, in my opinion, are becoming also that de facto brand, if you will. I mean, are you seeing that?
I am seeing that. Yeah, we are seeing that. At the end of the day, I think what we focus on is a business model that is structured where we do want our dealer support, and we want to support our dealers. So it's this give-and-take relationship where we don't want to sell our grills all over the Internet, and we don't want our grills to necessarily come out of a box or a big box store, right? So
right.
I think our business model is showing that this is working. We have dealers who appreciate that, who stand by our product, and their customers love their product, our product, and then they're coming back, obviously, for other things, including pellets. So it's a business model that's working for us, and we've been able to get out a lot of product because of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, you and I had a conversation just a couple of days ago, and you said something in it that really perked my ears as a competitor and as a consumer. You said, look, we know these products have moving parts in them. And this is a paraphrase. This isn't exactly what you said, of course. But you said it's not, if they fail, but when. We know it's a part of the puzzle, and we're there to support our customers if it ever happens. And that means a lot. I mean, that's amazing.
I think it's something that everybody has to get comfortable with if they're going to jump into the pellet grill marketplace, because it is something that we all need to face. That we do have moving parts. As long as we have the ability to create a product that's easy for our consumers to work on and feel comfortable working on. You're not necessarily working on. I mean, most of these things are 2-5 minute fixes. if they go wrong. But for the longevity, if you want to keep a grill going for 10, 15 years, you're going to have to replace an igniter. You might have to replace a fan, but these are quick deals. I mean, I'm talking 5-minute fixes, and that's the way we've engineered our grill so that it is completely easy for anyone to work on, especially our dealers.
Right. You know, one story that really me puts just the period at the end of that sentence is Doug from Hogs Gone Wild. I believe it was him. I'm 99% sure. I think he had a failure literally like overnight in the middle of a cook and swapped out the part before his pit dropped temp enough to matter and got it back cooking. Finished the cook with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we think that is the key to this business. You have to get somebody comfortable. The consumer has to be comfortable that they're buying a product that they're going to know inside and out and they're going to have a full comfort on, right?
So absolutely.
For us, I mean, we hear stories like that all the time, and we have some of the best customer service folks. I'd match them against anybody in customer service. They're there to help. They know these grills inside and out, and we're doing a good job taking care of customers, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
Well, and you certainly are, and I'll tell you, my buddy Mike, you want to talk about a research junkie? This guy spent like 3 months on the internet researching every pit out there and came to you, settled on you guys because every pellet forum he went to, he would hear some story about, well, this happened, GMG shipped me a part, no cost, and boom, it was fixed, no headache, no worry, or the guy talked me through it on the phone, how to swap it out. I mean, he was just really glowing about what he was finding about the customer support, and I just... Neil Buckwalter in our chat room just his pellet sensor went out, and you guys sent him one at no cost, and he had it installed in 5 minutes. I mean, I've heard nothing but story after story like that about you guys.
We appreciate that very, very much, and we love hearing them, and that's what we're about. I mean, I know of grills that have been out there for at least 4 years that we've sent parts on and never charged anybody for. I don't know what the future looks like for GMG, but for now, we are replacing parts that are outside of warranty, and we're doing that because we want to make sure these folks are happy and they continue to say good things about pellet grills in general, right?
Right.
We don't want to get into this who's better at this or that. I want to see pellet grills as a sector of barbecue rise up, and that's I think we're all doing our part right now to make sure that continues.
Well, let's talk about what it takes to make that happen, right? And let's talk about, obviously, what it is you guys are doing so well. For a pit like that to take hold, it has to do a few things. It has to be dependable. It has to be accessible, meaning, you know, they're distributed to a wide, you know, sector of the United States, at least. And they have to be at a price point that the average Joe can within 6 months save up enough money to buy one. And I think if you're outside of any of those, you're not going to be that main brand. And I think you guys have nailed it with your product line. Now, would I like to see something between that big pig rig that you guys got and the Jimbo? Absolutely, I would. But I think you've got a nice price range of like $800 and get a great pellet pit. For $1,000, you get a pellet pit that's even nicer, in, you know, as far as cubic inches. And then if you're all in, if you want the big cat's meow, you got that as well. And I think a lot of companies they're either missing that or they're missing it on the price point. They're at that $2,000 price point or $1,500 price point, and it's for some people in it. As a company, what I see in the market, and as a buyer, when you break that $1,200, $1,300 price point, you start hitting these families. You get them into a level of discomfort. You kind of have to be that $1,200 and below if you can. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, think about what you do when you walk to Home Depot, and you walk and you see the barbecue aisle. And you see how pretty all these grills look for $500, $600, $700, and they look amazing, right? But at the end of the day, the food that comes off there isn't up to par, isn't up to the taste that you may aspire to. So as we look at that price point, we say, okay, we said this at the beginning, let's build a grill around that price point that it's going to look pretty, but it's going to work, and it's going to create amazing food. So as we did that, we also looked at that range and said, okay, what would happen if we went from $1,000 to $3,000? And what kind of a grill could we produce, and how many can we sell? And when you do that, it's the law of diminishing returns, right? Things go down, and you kind of got to see where you want to fit in the marketplace. So I think that I think we've done a fantastic job hitting that price point. We have more intention to further intentions to bring another product to the market that is going to be even more cost effective and even more have more features and more portability. So that will be a product we hope that will actually bring even more people into pellet grilling.
Now, without getting you in trouble, and feel free to cut me off if I talk out of turn or maybe release too much, I should say. But I've heard this unit may be kind of a tailgater sort of special that may even be powered by like your car cigarette lighter.
That's correct. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what we're working on. I'm not promising that's what we're delivering quite yet, but yes, that's what we are working on, and we're getting pretty close. I mean, this is a testing process that has been going on for some time. A lot of our consumers have asked about it. A lot of our dealers have asked about it. We just want to make sure we know the competition that's out there, and we know how that cooks, and frankly, we want to do a better job, and we want to make sure that when folks get this grill, they love it and they take it everywhere with them. So
we're getting
there. And plus that, we want to be able to make a lot of them. We don't want to run out of them. That's another key ingredient in this. So
right.
But we are getting there.
I want to throw this comment at you. It's a little bit from left field, but I want to address it as they fall in the chat room, because this is how the conversation goes. It's not just between me and you. It's also between me, you, and the chat room, if you will.
Right.
Don Parr, a fantastic cook in his own right, he says, I've never cooked on a pellet grill, but what I've heard is that they don't produce smoke flavor as well as charcoal with wood added or the stick burners. What's your take on that, Jason? And then I'll toss in my two cents as well.
Yeah, so what I would say is that there's one element that burns off in any wood, and it's guaiacol. So when that guaiacol burns off, that molecule is imparted into the food. So that's the taste that's coming off of the pellet grill. Now, if you are going to do a long smoke, let's say at 150 degrees, there are times when I'll do a tri-tip for a couple hours at 150 and then cook it up to my internal temp, where I'll go, man, I did a little too much, it's too smoky.
Uh-huh.
So I think, you know, that's how I would answer that question. I mean, flavor, that's how I'm going to answer that question.
Well, my take on it, and I was, I'll be honest with you, if we had had this conversation a year ago, I would have totally naysayed pellet pits. I mean, that's just the truth. I was not a fan of them.
Mm-hmm.
What I found, though, is that I wasn't a fan of Traeger pellet pits. All my complaints were Traeger complaints, believe it or not, that I'd heard from Traeger community. And just echoed. Once I went to a high quality pellet pit, if you will, and that's nothing against Traeger. I just, their pits they built 10 years ago may have been better. It's coming out of the factory now, in my opinion.
That's a true statement.
Well, I'll leave it as opinion because they're not here to defend themselves. But I will say this, when I went to real high end pellet, on a real high-end pellet pit, I can tell you that it is a different kind of smoke. It is a slightly different flavor of the charcoal, but it's not a flavor, and it's not a lesser flavor. It's a slightly different flavor, and in many ways, I like it. It's less acidic, in its nature. It's a bit smoother in its nature, and I think that's why it scores better for a lot of teams. it fits flavor profiles better for a lot of teams.
Sure. But there are also, I mean, there's great food that comes off of charcoal with wood chips and all that. And I'm not discrediting that at all. What I would say is that when you look at a pellet grill for the average consumer, you're looking at something where you have a comfort level around ease and something that's not as messy, but has that taste. So it almost has the simplicity of like a normal propane grill, and then it has the flavor, in my opinion, better flavor than a charcoal type of cooker.
Right. If you grew up like I did, kind of in the South, then everything was, you know, they would burn down oak and hickory together and make coal and then put that underneath a big, nice pork shoulder. That's a very, that flavor kind of defines a region, if you will. So it's a little different. It's a different take on that, but it is not bad in any way. It's not lesser. It's a different delivery. And you know, our Tucker cooker, I love the Tucker cooker. I'll always love the Tucker cooker. I love taking charcoal and mixing it with like a Cherry Mojo brick, which is essentially a giant pellet compressed sawdust, and it delivers amazing smoke, flavor, and color. Is it that as easy as a pellet grill? No, it's not. But you know, I'm like you. I think you've got to decide kind of what path you want to be on. You know, that Tucker's going to work a little more than a pellet pit, not much. I appreciate both. I've come to, at least in my mind, to say they're both the right path. You need to go down the one you feel comfortable on.
Absolutely, and I appreciate both as well. But at the end of the day, for the normal consumer, that wants ease of cooking, the pellet grill it should be the path that they choose.
Right. I agree. Now, I've just teams that made the pellet switch, you know, it's kind of odd. And Andy's a great example of this. I mean, Andy's a hell of a competitor in his own right. They immediately start hitting. And he and I had this conversation last night. So, I mean, first cookout on the GMG, we got two calls. And I think it is maybe it smooths their flavor profile out, and they're paying more attention to that box when they go to build it because they got some sleep.
So yeah, definitely.
It makes a world of difference. So let's walk through your product line a little bit for the five people that are maybe as familiar with GMG. Kind of walk us through your three offerings and maybe what each of those pits were, what consumer they were built for.
Yeah, so the Daniel Boone has 400 plus square inches of grilling space. It's our smallest model currently, and it has everything that you could possibly want outside of two options, a remote control or a stainless steel lid, if you want either of those items. So everything in all the grills, including the SenseMate technology, which fires into turbo mode. If it's extremely cold outside, it'll push more pellets through that auger system to make sure that it's maintaining that temperature. The low pellet alarm, if all of a sudden you forget that you didn't put pellets in the hopper, this thing beeps at you, it goes crazy, so you know that you need to put pellets in it. The Venturi-style firebox is present in all those in all of our grills. Basically, that is the main model that we sell. The next model up, the Jim Bowie model, is the 600 square inch grill, and that weighs 103 pounds, 183 pounds. By the way, the Daniel Boone weighs 154 pounds, and so this going back to the Jim Bowie is just an extension of that Daniel Boone pit. But it's a fantastic barbecue for competition, for anyone that's cooking a lot of food. That has a lot of space on it, right? So
right.
Those are the two main products. The Big Pig trailer rig is our massive insulated 3x5 feet of grilling space, behemoth grill on a trailer hitch that mostly for catering. Folks use that for catering throughout. and those are made in Salina, Kansas.
I want to take one of those big rigs to Memphis in May and do a pig on. So I saw it, I was like, oh man, look at that.
Yeah, that sucker is fully insulated, and it has our controller on both sides. It's got a 50-pound hopper. It's sweet. I mean, it's incredible to actually cook on as well.
Right.
But those are the main products for now. Our pellets, obviously, we focus on a pellet that produces less ash and burns longer than any pellet out there in the marketplace, and we've tested against all of them. And the way in which we've done that is that we've pretty much put our base as oak, and then we've included hickory or pecan. Pecan's just hickory with a nut, and then mesquite or maple, whatever's in the mill at that time. But what we're seeing is that we've got a pretty good blend that is consistently burning longer and creating less ash in the fire pit than any pellet out there. So that's what we're focusing on.
Very cool. And you know what I love? From the GMG fanatics, you'll hear two things. The first one is whatever pit they happen to recommend, and they'll pick one or the other. They'll say either go buy yourselves a couple of the smaller model or get a couple of the Jim Buoys. But the second thing out of their mouth is always, and we will compete with their pellets. And I'll tell you, it's pretty unheard of in the competition world that a manufacturer of a pit also, make good enough, I won't say a secondary line of product, because the pellet is very important, obviously, these pits, but makes a product high enough quality that these guys will actually compete on them. And that really surprised me out of GMG. So how did you guys come about developing that pellet?
Yeah, so we started in consulting. We did so much work in the background. I don't know if I want to explain all of it, but I will say that there were a lot of universities, a lot of forest departments, and a lot of very, very specialized folks involved in helping us get to this point with our pellet. And I think I'll probably leave it at that. But for the most part, we do spend a lot of time on our pellet. It is something we take a lot of pride in, especially dispelling some of the myths that are out there about a lot of different pellets. And it's been an uphill battle for us to go through a system where people have been marketed to very, very well with
right.
a number of different pellets for this or that or the other thing. But at the end of the day, we're putting our pellet against any of them, and I think it's a fantastic pellet.
And it is, and I've actually burnt two bags of your pellets. It's a great blend. There's nothing off-putting one way or the other with that pellet. It is a great blend. You can do anything you want with it. It doesn't matter the meat. It will work. I happen to be a very fanatic personally in pecan, so I'll burn some of the barbecue or light stuff just when I want just those flavors. But there's not a thing in the world wrong with the GMG blend right from you guys, because it's fantastic. And I just saw Andy through the chat room. He's only had one other pellet other than yours in their pit, and it's been one time and only once.
That's
so he's a big believer. And that's a lot. I mean, if you got a guy that's winning fairly consistently, in a competition season, if you compete 10 times and you come back with six trophies out of those 10 ventures, you're probably doing pretty well as far as an average, because the skill level out there is so high right now.
Yeah, it is high, isn't it? I mean, where do you – that could be another conversation, but it is amazing the amount of skill that's out there. And, we do see a little bit of fluff, but for the most part, you're starting to see a lot of very talented people get out there and cook some amazing food. And I'm enjoying being at some of these competitions. Because it's great.
Nowadays, you've got to get so good so fast, and these guys take, and I'm guilty of it. I spent the money for class and stuff like that just to – I thought what I was doing was good, but I wanted to see. I wanted to kind of measure myself against what these world champions were doing, and I paid the money. I wanted to see, are the flavor profiles really that much better? And what we found out is not necessarily, but they certainly have better processes than we did. And that was where it was at.
Yeah, so. No doubt. But it's an exciting time for barbecue in general, and it's great to see where we've come from, and I think we have a lot of that to attribute to just the awareness out there. Pitmasters has obviously brought a lot of newcomers on into the marketplace, and it's great to see all around.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I like your attitude of let's just get pellet pits out there front and center, irregardless of the brand, because if we're doing it right and doing it well, we'll rise top anyway. And that's a great attitude to have. That's capitalism at its finest.
Well, and the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, you've got 14.8 million barbecues that sold in the United States last year, and less than 100,000 of those were pellet grills.
Right.
So there's a lot of room to grow there.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what I love is I really see the pellet grill as, you know, Mac and Memphis and you guys keep kind of, you know, slugging it out. I really see the world of pellets becoming the norm. You'll go into Lowe's and there won't be gas pit anymore. There'll be pellet pits. And there'll be a row or an aisle of pellets along with the charcoal. I mean, I think we're 3 to 5 years from that happening, where it's really, really mainstream.
Yeah, Shane, I agree with you 100%. I think it's starting to happen now, and I think, like I said before, the key to all this is just dispelling some of the rumors and giving the consumer a comfort level around this piece of machinery, right? That has all these moving parts. They have to have a comfort level around it and not be intimidated by it.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, the time having you on worked out really well, and I kind of prodded Ernie and Mike to finish their for the audience to know, Ernie Rupp out of Kansas City, who worked with us, unbeknownst to me, I had no idea he was doing this, contacted you and got it set up where he got a GMG to test. And he emailed me one day, "Hey, we do a GMG review." And I was like, "Dude, you know Mike got a GMG, right?" He's like, "No." Like, "Well, you should write one. Like, you've never touched the GMG before. Write your impression. And let's get Mike to write his 9-month impression." And then as I read that and was talking to you, I'm like, we got to get Jason to write basically a manufacturer's rebuttal to this and get his take on it. And then you get this great, spear of knowledge, if you will, from the baseline consumer who's never seen your product, to the guy who's lived with it, to the guy who's out having to, getting the hard questions shot at him all day. So I think it's a great series that's coming out that will do wonders for the community. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, I was blown away that I had no idea that Mike owned one. So after Ernie did his review and said that, I was kind of shocked, actually. So when I saw Mike's review, I was even more shocked. And his story about the wedding ring was priceless. I mean, that is just something everybody should go read. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
but no, I'm at the end of the day, again, this product has made its way into mainstream already. And now we're just hoping to get people even more comfortable. And I think the brands out there, I just think people need to, they're still hesitant, right? That's that fear of change. They don't want to quite make the switch yet.
Well, and it's unproven. So here's the comparison I made. Let's talk about hybrid cars 3 years ago. People went, it's a great idea, but I don't know if they're going to last 200,000 miles. It hasn't been proven. Well, here we are, fast forward 3 years, and now it's become a little more of an accepted norm. I think hybrid cars and pellet pits are on the very same trajectory of acceptance. And as you guys keep doing the community right and well, I think it becomes the norm of what
analogy.
People should expect. So
great analogy.
Yeah. For everyone else who hasn't had the opportunity to read Mike's review, he's posting pictures to it now to kind of pretty it up because I rushed him. I was, I really didn't give him the opportunity to finish it, and I feel bad for that. Not really. But basically, the story Jason alluded to, Mike had to run out, do a fast change of his pellets, and in the process, it was cold out. So his wedding ring, your hands shrink when it's cold out. his wedding ring fell into the pellets and he didn't know. The wedding ring makes it all the way through the hopper, all the way down the auger, and into the fire pot. 2 weeks plus later, he's cleaning out his GMG, vacuuming it out, and, you know, getting it ready to go again, and he finds his ring in the fire pot. It had cooked for, God, probably 20, 30 hours. It thankfully, it was a titanium ring, so it was unaffected by the fire. It was it's a feat of manufacturing and, you know, mechanical engineering. This ring, and Mike's got pretty good size hands, so it had to be like a size 13 ring, made it through this auger. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. That's just a great story.
That's one that's got to go on your website, Berg. Then you have
I definitely need to put that up there.
Okay, then you have other knuckleheads trying to see what else will fit in the auger.
Oh, no. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, the ring is hilarious because it's multicolored because it's like fired, you know, it looks like a smoke ring. It's hilarious, but only Mike could do that. So let me ask you, Jason, you know, the feedback you're getting, name like two options or accessories that you're hearing that the community is really requesting.
That we don't already have?
Right.
Yeah. So I would say that the number one item is probably some kind of technology that allows some kind of an insert to allow more of a charring type of effect from the pit. That'd be number one. That's the one thing. And I'd say the second thing I hear a lot is a removable a shelf. So an upper rack instead of what we already have is an upper rack that has feet, have a removable shelf.
Gotcha.
So I think both of those things we are working on both those things.
Very cool. Yeah, and those both would be great. So to sear a great steak for the gorilla that I was given to work with. Grill grates are a requirement, and you know, Grill Grates is a great company. You know, that sheet of aluminum gets super hot, and you set that pellet pit to 350 to 375, and you can turn out a nice steak on it. So maybe even offering those as sort of option or some change on those would be fantastic for you guys, I think.
That's a good point. That's a good point. We'll definitely think about that. That's a great point. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, isn't it true of us damn barbecuers that no matter what you give us, we always want more?
But that's what makes it so great. That's what makes this whole situation great, the whole sector, if you will, great, because you do have people that are so passionate about it that they're thinking about what's next. And I think that's innovation. That's what we're all good at. And that's bringing out the best in all of us. And I hope people keep doing that because we'll keep reacting to it.
Well, and that's awesome that you guys are being very proactive in that conversation as well. I mean, it's really cool. You know, some features that I've seen that I can't even believe you guys have on thing is the remote. And I make fun of Mike just mercilessly. I'm like, dude, it's a pellet pit. You got to have a remote to turn it up and down from inside while you're watching football? Come on, man. You know, just to give them crap. But, dude, that thing is amazing.
Right. Well, think of the guy that's in Fargo, North Dakota, right? And it's freezing outside. And he doesn't want to go out there, you know, five or six times during his cook. And he's got his thermal blanket out there on his Daniel Boone, and he's sitting there with his remote inside his house after he already put his shoulder on, and he's got his meat probe in there. And he can see exactly what the internal temp is on that meat probe, and he can adjust the temperature accordingly. If the thing's run out of pellets, it's going to beep at him. Once he's done, if he forgot to turn it off, he can turn it off right there with the touch of a button. So it's some people will say, oh, well, it's kind of gimmicky, but for some people, it's a real nicety.
Right. No, and don't get me wrong. I give him trash for it because of who he is. There's nothing more than I would love to set that thing, you know, sitting in my chair, I'm staring at the big screen TV, it's January, We're in the playoffs, you know, for football. You throw some wings on there, or maybe you got a brisket on, and you can just sit there and you get to enjoy the game, and you don't have to wait for timeout to be called or commercial to run out and check the pit because you got it right there.
That's right.
It's pretty ingenious, man. It's awesome.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. We have more to come with that kind of material, but that's later down the road, more technology-based advancements.
Well, I know everyone's clamoring. Every guy that owns GMG is sitting there bracing, what could be next? What's next, you know? Because they see, you know, the market evolving so quickly. But they also know, and I think it's a testament to you guys, they're waiting to see what you're going to do because they know you're going to do it well. So it really is a testament to the company.
Oh, we appreciate that very much. And I do apologize, by the way, for the mix-up on the default temperature on the grills, because the controller that Ernie was actually working on, and I'll put a rebuttal in on this and I'll explain it further online so it's there for everybody to read, but the controller that Ernie had has a default temperature setting of 320 degrees, and Mike has a default temperature setting at 150 degrees. So now, today, everything is set at 150, so they can be at the lowest setting and then work its way up. They don't work any different except their starting capabilities. So what Ernie had to do was lift the lid to bring the temperature down after he set it underneath 320, which was its default temp, whereas the new ones all default at 150 degrees, and then you set it from there up.
Right. Yeah, so and that makes perfect sense. I mean, I like the 150 because, especially for us guys that want to put a real heavy smoke on it the first hour or two, you pretty much throw your meat on, turn it on, and walk away, and it's going to default to 150. That's really smart.
Yeah, no doubt. So I do apologize for that.
Oh, no, you don't have to apologize to us. I mean, we're just putting info. Mike, myself, and Ernie, we just do this because we love it. We don't, you know, the review stuff and the radio show. I don't make any money on this piece of it. I mean, we're an awesome rub company. Ernie writes for us because he needed an outlet or wanted an outlet to, you know, or a platform to write from. And he's been a great asset to the team. And I love his passion for this, and I love that he is so go-get-em about reaching out to companies like yourself. I mean, that sort of passion in barbecuers is what drives this community, and I'm always okay with fostering that, you know?
Yeah. I'm always blown away by how great everybody is. I mean, every competition that I attend and walk around and meet folks, I mean, I'm just blown away. It's a sector that you can truly believe in, hang your hat on, and get to love, because it is something that hopefully will continue to rise, and I think it will as people continue to put out great food, and I'm excited just to be part of it. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, like I said, don't change anything. You're showing up at the right places, save for this one. This isn't necessarily the right place. But I think what you're doing with the social media outreach and the marketing, and I think what you guys are doing as a company, I mean, you've got it nailed, man. I mean, a lot of kudos to you guys. I mean, Jeffers Barbecue wouldn't lock arms with a company that wasn't doing it right, because, you know, both of our reputations are on the line. It's the way I look at it, you know?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And equally as important to us. I mean, this is something we want to do for a very long time to come. And we know that every customer who has an issue has to be taken care of. So that's our motto. We have to make sure everybody's taken care of. And 99% of people's issues are usually operator error. However, we want to take them through the process, and we want to make sure that they know exactly what they're doing so that that they can continue to cook some great food and say great things about pellet grills. But that's the hurdle. And I struggle with it at times because I do see a lot of our competitor, put the product out there in a big box store, and people go home with it in a box. And I don't know. I don't know if the market's ready for that for the pellet grills yet. It's not my opinion that it is. I think that you need a local dealer, a small business owner who has a passion to walk the person through it, to explain exactly how the grill works, to how to cook a good brisket on it. That is the model that we intend to stick with, and until we're forced to do otherwise, right? And if that's but I hope it never gets to that point. I really do, because I don't think that's the right model for this particular item.
Well, this community, as far as pellet grills, needs exactly what Big Green Egg has already done. They put out an eyeball unit. They had to work 25, 30 years for acceptance. They finally got acceptance. But they got that by putting those units in fireplace and patio stores and having demos every weekend and classes showing people how to be a pro with their investment. That's how you grow this community. And I think that the way you're doing it makes perfect sense.
And we have so much respect for what they've done in the marketplace for that particular product. If there's one company that I could say that I'd love to emulate, it's them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And look at the, I won't call them also-rans, because Big Green Egg did it so well. And so widely, you look at the Primos and, you know, all these other Komodo Joe, you know, all these other companies that have kind of just nestled right in there and are basically doing the same thing, and they're having success as well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, it's great to see. It's great to see all these options out there as well.
Well, Jason, we're down to our last minutes, and I can't believe time's already gone. What the heck? I knew this would happen, but I almost said you and I should do like a 30-minute thing, and I was like, no, we'll get to talking, and we'll be at an hour real fast.
Yeah, easy.
No doubt. Tell us, you know, where to go to get all your information. You know, maybe do you have a favorite forum that maybe you participate in for pellet grills? Or give us some information for the consumer to get out there, get his knowledge up, and then get in a store and buy one of your units.
The biggest thing that we do is we utilize our the internet to make sure that people know how to get to a brick and mortar. So the website address, www.greenmountaingrills.com, on the top navigation bar, you'll find a dealer. Click on find a dealer, and you can punch in your city, your zip code, and that will take you to the closest dealer that carries our products. The best forum out there by far is Pellet Heads that we see. I know Barbecue Brethren's out there as well, doing a great job. Amazing Ribs does a good job. All those different sites, you can read about us even further and find out more information about us.
Well, those are my favorite sites. So, I mean, you talk about Amazing Ribs. I mean, talk about the... If Barbecue World had Encyclopedia Britannica,
oh my gosh,
it is Meathead Golden and Amazing Ribs.com.
He is unbelievable, isn't he?
He really is.
Oh my gosh! I mean, what a great story too. I mean, what a great story for him to have poured his heart into an industry and just aspire for that knowledge and to be where he is today. I applaud him. It's fantastic. He's a great sight.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. All right, Jason. Well, give us your the Twitter handle for you, and give us any parting words you got, sir.
Sure, at GMGRILLS, or you can also follow us on Facebook, Green Mountain Grills. Parting words: hey, we are just out here to continue to spread the word about pellet grilling, and we're here to support all of our customers, and we hope more and more people do join the Pellet Grill Nation, and especially the GMG Nation.
Well, I think they will, and if I guess, they're going to start doing it in droves.
Well, thank you so much, Shane. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for hanging out, Jason.
Thank you so much. Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, Jason Baker. Such a great dude. He and I talked for about 45 minutes the other day, and just a great guy who loves what he's doing, and that goes a long way. Hey, before we jump on with Don and give him his full due, you guys, I mean, we talk about pellets, but we also got to talk about show sponsor Mojo Bricks and mojobricks.com. We made the comparison. It's like a giant pellet. It really is. If you guys are cooking on a stick burner, WSM, or any place that you could use charcoal, Mojo Bricks is the way to go. When we compete on the Tucker, we use base of charcoal and Cherry Mojo Bricks on top. We win with it. We place with it. We're consistent with it. It's fantastic. If you guys don't know about them, you need to check them out. Mojo Bricks barbecue cubes, they're basically a condensed brick of sawdust from a flooring grade or cabinet grade Appalachian wood. There's no binder. There's no chemicals in them. They just use pressure to hold them together. They're just consistent. If I had to make a comparison or draw some sort of conclusion for Mojo Bricks, and I had to put it in one word, I'd say consistent. It's always consistently the same smoke, always the same burn time, and they're just fantastic. You need to check them out. They have great flavors like hickory, maple, cherry, oak. I know pecan's coming out. Fred's doing some crazy blends. You just got to go come out. www.mojobricks.com. And he's got a great info site there, great place to order. He's usually running a deal. Go check him out on Facebook. Fantastic guy. If you have any questions, look up Fred Gross or give him a call at 773-398-192 or shoot him an email at info@firewoodbricks.com. All right. Let's jump on in with Big Don. And you know what? You know who can talk Mojo Bricks? Don. Why? Because he carries Mojo Bricks. Let's rush over to the hotline so we can get him. Don Parr, what's going on, sir? Is he there? Don, you there? Oh, I got a crazy echo. Don, turn down your speakers.
Turn down your speakers.
Let me throw some in the chat room here. Are you there?
My speaker's on.
Are you there?
Hey, Ernest,
yeah?
I can hear you now.
Hey, Ernest, I can hear you now.
Okay. I'm living the dream, man.
Yeah. I do get a bit of an echo from you, so we got a feedback. How about now, Don?
I hear you.
Okay, hey, I'm not hearing you always.
Can you hear me?
I'm not hearing you always.
Yeah,
I'm
going to drop off. I'm going to drop the call on. And then have you call right back in.
Yeah.
And have you call right back in.
Okay.
All right. We'll see if we can get this lined out. Sometimes we get a little weird connection. And it just may be his phone's so strong that it's picking it up from the computer. But that's fine, too. We may have to have him step away from the computer and just hang out with us on the phone and not the chat room. So we'll see. See, Cap Ron is in the chat room. Having some good old Ron in a week or two. Ron, how's the world treating you, man? All right, here's Don coming back in. Oh, I still get the echo. Don,
hello.
If you could take your phone and leave the computer.
Well, okay. You know what? Let me call you on a different phone.
Okay.
Drop it, and I'll call you right back.
Okay.
All right. Ron, how's the sauce? Where's the mustard sauce, Ron? I'm going to keep bothering Ron until he comes out with his mustard sauce. See if we can get Don back in here. Oh, he says off. Mike and his tea. Mike drinks about 9 gallons of tea a day for you guys in the chat room. So he stepped away to fill his tea bucket. He really means a bucket of tea. It's ridiculous. All right, let's see if we can get Don back in here. So you guys in the chat room, you guys had a lot of comments while Jason was on. If you've got any questions, check out that review that Ernie and Mike have done. It's two separate reviews. And comment on them, because Jason's going to post a rebuttal to it. So he's a great guy, so I'm sure he'll respond to any comments. All right, Don, how about now?
I'm still trying to live the dream with you, man.
Oh, you're living it. I got you. You're perfect. No echo. Perfect, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm glad we got able to work this out. All right.
Yeah.
What's going on, Jane?
Not a lot, man. I know we're stretching your comfort zone. I know you're not a big fan of the technology that is required sometimes to do all this stuff, but you do it well anyway.
Well, like I told you before, I come from the day of rotary dial telephones, so all this is new to me. So I'm trying to tread water in the deep end.
Well, I tell you what. You know what? You don't always have to use the technology of today to be successful for today. You've taken many products, many upstarts like myself, and gotten them into many stores in the St. Louis area. So let's start with your background. What's your day job, or what have you done in the course of your career?
Yeah, well, I'm not a kid anymore, so I've been sawing for almost 40 years. And my day job is I sell truck accessories and auto parts. I sell to car dealers and to body shops in the St. Louis area. So I'm always on the street, and I've been, like I said, selling for 40 years. So I'm not afraid to talk to people. But
right.
About 3 years ago, I entered my first barbecue contest, and I got bit by the barbecue bug. And I really enjoy doing it, and I enjoy the people. And I think I told you that one time that if you can make a living doing what you enjoy, you never have to go to work. So,
I totally agree with you.
And so I just after my first contest, I really started to get into it and try to find out more. And I found the website, the Barbecue Brethren Forum. And I got on there and started to learn what I didn't know about barbecue, and really started to study it a little bit. And I saw about Mojo Bricks, and I wanted to try them. And I called Fred, and to literally just try them. And then I started saying, well, they're not available in St. Louis. Me being a salesman, always looking for something to sell. I asked him, how about bringing them in here and let me see what I can do with them. And from that, I got in some stores and had some success introducing that product. And then I hooked up with you, and I'm trying to do you. And it's just it's kind of mushroomed since then, because now I'm just recently, last week, I hooked up with Meat Rake and with Grill Grates. And I'm going to be repping their lines also. And then the first of next month, because you give me a contact name, is Jack's Tailgaters. And I'm really excited about them. I'm going to start introducing their product into the market also. So that's it in a nutshell. Just an old guy that likes to talk to people and sell stuff.
And you do a great job. And, you know, what I love, Don, is that you're very no-nonsense. You know, from a manufacturer standpoint, like, and I want people to know, you know, kind of our relationship. You know, we've working together, I don't know, about a month and a half now. In that time, you've put us in about 5 stores in St. Louis, and it's been great. And those are doors that we can get in making phone calls, sending sample packs to, and Don Bebop's in there and says, hey, I got this sauce, you should try it, and boom. He emails me. It's like, they want 2 cases this, 3 cases that, whatever. And it just works. It's a great relationship. And I recommend anyone to work with you, so long as I always get top billing, Don.
Thank you. I like talking to people. And what I try to do when I go into a store is try to build a relationship, not that I'm just there to sell them something. I'm there to offer them a product that I've used, that I know is good, and that it has value. It might not be the cheapest, but it has value. And then I think also when I place an order with you or with anybody else and I ask you when you're shipping it, I also follow up afterwards. I go back in and make sure the order was received, it was correct, and then they now know, hey, he wasn't there just to make a sale.
Right.
He followed up. And then when I come back and talk to them again about reordering, they know that I'm going to be around for the long haul. And I try to represent your company like it's mine.
Right, and you do. And, you know, and I like the conversation you had with me for the beginning was, if I sell it, you better ship it quick because these guys, you know, it's my reputation on the line. And I appreciate that. You know,
yeah.
I don't want it to be a willy-nilly thing. I want this to work both ways. You know, you can count me. I can count on you. We hold each other accountable. And in the end, what that makes is for a happy store and a happy set of customers. And that's important.
Right. That's what I try to make it where my customer knows that if I tell them a product's good, they don't have to question it because they know that I'll tell them the truth. And,
right.
And so I kind of demand that the people that I'm dealing with, that I'm repping for, to always tell me the truth. And like you ran out, you know, right now you're having a shortage. You put on there that you're out of mood enhancer. But I know that now. I know it ahead
right.
of time, so I can handle it. And also, in helping you and hopefully help some of your customers, once you put that on your page, I immediately put three of my customers that have websites up and have your product and said, hey, if since Shane don't have it, if you need some, here's three places that have it on their shelf. And try to sell more of your product, take care of your customers, and take care of my customer. So it all works out. One hand washes the other.
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, that's when we welcome in new stores as distributors for our product, I always kind of, you know, the email I put out is, you know, kind of welcome to the family. And I really want to be that way. You know, if these guys have a problem, if they can't get a hold of you, you want them to call me. If they can't get a hold of me, I want them to call you. And that's exactly what we're looking for in a small distributor. We've had opportunity to sign with big distributors at a, well, you know, and as a small company at a pretty hefty price. The way you do things allows us to get our feet on the ground, and I really appreciate it, and I recommend any other small companies with a very high-end product to send it to you for evaluation and see if it fits in your product lines, because you're very good and very consistent in what you do.
Well, I've been doing it for a long time, and you know, and taking care of customers and building a network of customers. It's the same no matter what product you're selling. And since I have now this passion for barbecue, the enthusiasm comes across when I'm making a presentation too. When I come in there, you know, and so they say, "Hey, this guy." I try to build a relationship where they like me. And they know that what I'm telling them is the truth, and it's not just a sales pitch. And
right.
It works out. It seems to work. Hopefully, if I can continue to get more products and build a bigger network, because that will help each and every company that I represent. Because when I first started, it was just Mojo Bricks.
Right.
And I go into a store and I talk to them about Mojo Bricks, and they may not be receptive to it. They've got their wood and their chips, and they're happy with it. And they would say, "No, I don't think so. I didn't have any more bullets.
Right.
I couldn't talk to them about anything else. And so that's why I needed more products. But each time now, I can go in, and it gives me an opportunity to say, "Hey, you're not handling Mojo Bricks, or you're not handling Drapers, but I've got stores that are, and they're doing it very successfully. You might give them a try."
Right.
And it just gives me an opportunity to reintroduce you, even though they said no the first time. It gives me an opportunity when I go back, if I have more products, that maybe I can also later down the road get you in that store. And it's just sales. That's all it is. It's just sales and taking care of customers.
Sure. Now, Don, walk me through. I know we didn't have – you were – our history is you ordered my product. That's how we got started. You said you liked it, and I said, hey – and I'd posted something about looking for representatives for the company, and you fired – man, you're one of the first ones, Johnny on the spot, saying, hey, I'd be interested. But walk me through now that you got, you know, three or four or five companies under your belt. What are you looking for in a company before you take them on?
Quality. Quality. I also really like to talk to the person that's who I'm representing right now is a lot of small companies like yourself. And I like to get to know them and find out what they're doing. And I want to make sure they're going to put out a quality product. And they can they're interested in entering a new market. And but I guess number one thing I want is I don't want to represent anything. I don't want to bring anything into St. Louis that's not a quality product. Not everybody's going to like each one of your rubs, but they're going to know that the quality in that rub is top notch. And that
right.
The delivery of your service is top-notch. Now, the fact that somebody may not like your sauce for a flavor profile, that's a whole other thing. That's nobody's fault. Everybody has different
sure.
thoughts about it. But your quality of the products you put, the spices and everything you put in that bottle is top-notch. And we can sell it with confidence. And it doesn't matter what it is. That's I just want top-notch stuff. And that's at a fair price. It doesn't necessarily have to be the cheapest, but because quality normally costs a little bit more. And who I'm calling on is a lot of specialties stores, the smaller stores,
right.
The smaller butcher shops, you know, the local butchers. That's who I'm calling on. And they will have something that the big giant box store doesn't. And you know, it's that unique thing. And a lot of places I deal with the competitive cooks, you know, the guys that compete. And competitive cooks are always looking for an edge, something different, something the judges will like. And that's it.
I just saw in the chat Andy Allen of Rooftop. He would be a great mention. Some of your stores are looking for your sauce. He's got a very I shouldn't say a sweet sauce, but it's a sweet sauce for sure. He'd be a great cup for you. Ben Wilson just received all of his first shipment of bones, his entire line. I think he's got three sauces and a rub or two. Another fantastic product. You know, those are two people or two companies that would be very good in the St. Louis area. So I think you're on the cusp of picking up probably as many products as you care to deal with. You made the mistake of sending me the email of, hey, if you know of any others, and, man,
mm-hmm.
there's no shortage of them.
Well, yeah, and that's right. And, you know, but there's only so much shelf space but in these stores. But like what I told you when I was asking for other stores, other products, if you knew of anybody, is it really does help you if I have other products to sell. It's not, don't look at them as a competitor. Look at them as a partner trying to get in this market. And that's all I'm trying to do is to enter the market. And I enjoy talking about this stuff. I enjoy talking to the guys in the stores about their barbecue. A lot of stores, and a couple of stores that I deal with have competitive teams. And we'll talk about barbecue. And just what they do, a product they're using, or a process they're using. And sometimes it helps me in my next contest. And I can then sell that product also. And I'm just trying to build a network of products that are top quality that can deliver it on a consistent basis.
Right. So you brought up competition. Let's shift gears a little bit. I mean, we've talked a bit of business. Now let's talk some fun. You're a competitor in your own right. You've done really well. You know, everyone has their sore spots. I know you can sore spot for you. But really, for only being doing this for a couple of years, competitively, you've gotten walks. So you're doing pretty well out there.
I get some calls. I've gotten calls. My best call here recently was I just struggle with chicken so doggone bad, and I'm trying to get my chicken right. And the last contest I did, I totally messed up chicken. It was really funny. I couldn't get the skin. I was trying to get that magical bite through skin, and I didn't have skin. I didn't have six pieces of chicken to turn in with skin, and I turned in 9 pieces of thighs with no skin, just sauce, with that smoking sauce that you're famous for, and they made the calls, and they got up to call in second place, and they called my name. I literally not believe it. I could not believe it. I mean, I have a line that I say quite often is, I hate chicken. And I got second place in chicken, and I couldn't believe it was skinless chicken. I don't know if I'll try that again, but on this one it worked. And the other thing is I made my brisket. And I thought my brisket was outstanding. I just didn't think there was a better brisket ever made by any competitor, no matter who it was, and it got 9th place. So it just shows that you never know. My chicken was so bad it almost won.
You made it so unique, Don. That's what mattered.
Yeah, I guess. But it wasn't. It looked good, but it wasn't. It wasn't what I thought the judges were looking for. But obviously, I was wrong, and I'm glad. Got a check and a trophy, so I'm happy.
That's awesome. That's a cool story. I'd heard the story, but here, I don't guess I caught the part where it was without skin. So that's even better.
Yeah, I just skinless chicken. I don't know. It just got lucky.
So what's your cooking rig, Don? What are you in competitions on?
Oh yeah, well I'm a backyard guy. I've got 2 ugly drum smokers, and a Weber Performer, and I cook. That's what I cook on, and I learned about the ugly drum from the brethren foreman, for them. And I made one, and it's just it's something else. I fell in love with it. And so I've made another one. I cooked on a Weber Performer. And earlier, I know you were talking, I'll tell you another story about my last contest was about somebody cooking on a Weber Smoky Mountain. There's a competitor, and I don't know if he's in the chat room or not, Canadian Bacon. And he came to the contest with his wife and 2 small children and 1 18.5-inch Weber Smoky Mountain. And he cooked all 4 categories, and his wife cooked the dessert on one thing, and won
That's
the
crazy.
Grand Championship, and won Grand Champion, and won Grand Champion, and just unbelievable. And I can never get better than Alan. He always beats me. When I got second at chicken, I thought, well, maybe this time I'll finally beat him in one category. Of course, he got first place at chicken.
Oh, goodness.
So even when I do well, he still does a little bit better. But he's an outstanding cook.
I'll say that is a testament to the cook, and I've tried it. Even on a large format pit, trying to cook all categories and all turn-ins on one pit. And, man, it's hard. It is really hard. I'm a 2-pit kind of guy, typically, prefer. You know, I can do ACBS on 1 tucker, but if you give me my options, I'm going to take 2 pits every time, just for that reason.
Yeah. Just back on how to promote product, too, is I also work, when I'm at a competition, my site almost looks like a NASCAR site. I've got a Mojo Brick banner up. I've got a Draper's Barbecue banner up. I've got a truck top shop that sponsors me, an RV place sponsors me. I mean, I've got signs all over my place for sponsors and that. And I also take a brick of Mojo around to all the competitors and give them one to try. and ask where they're from, and tell them where they can find it, where the, what's the closest store to where they live, and they can pick some up. So I'm always trying to introduce the product to people that cook.
Yeah.
And that's a good, and if a guy's an award winner, it's good for you. It's,
sure,
if he wins a grand championship with your sauce, that's a good thing, and he'll tell people about it.
Absolutely.
And I work hard at promoting you, each and every one of my products, no matter where I'm at, in a positive way.
Well, and that's awesome, man. It really is. You really have your fingers in a lot of pies, from printing to everything. I mean, Don is like the go-to guy. If you need it done, you call Don, right? I mean, he's all over the place.
Well, that's from being around a long time, and you make a lot of contacts, and I can do banners. I got a company that does banners and catalogs and printing, and I also work for them. That's inventory sales here in St. Louis, and I work real closely with them. You know, the president of the company is a friend of mine, and they're a class act also. So like you say, if you want it done, if you need something, give me a call. If I don't do it myself, I probably know somebody that does.
But right.
That's just from being in one city for a long time and in sales for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, and that's awesome. And you know what? You write a pretty good blog too, man. I every time you post it, I go read it. And what I like is it's very no nonsense. This is kind of what happened. This is what was good. This is what was bad. But I love that. And I'm not going to give your age. I won't do that to you. But I love how you've embraced the entire community. I mean, in the entire process from cooking to promoting to blogging. I mean, you're just out there, and that's awesome.
Well, I'm enjoying it. The blog thing is really something that I started, and I tell people sometimes I feel like a girl when I'm doing it. You know, I'm an old, you know, crusty old man, and here I am, you know, writing a blog like a teenage girl writing a diary or something, you know. But I really enjoy it. My problem with my blog is, I hope people will forgive me, is when in English class I was thinking about a baseball or something, that my grammar is terrible. So I may not spell every word correctly or put every comma where it's supposed to be. My wife is very good at it, and sometimes if she's got time, she can be my editor and kind of dress it up a little bit. But I've gotten where I enjoy it. The other thing I do, and I thought it was silly, is on my Facebook page, every day I just put what I'm cooking that day for dinner.
Right.
And I put on what we're having for supper. And I thought it was silly. And a couple of days I didn't put anything on there. I thought, I'm going to quit that. And then I went someplace here locally in town, and they looked at me and said, what are you eating, man? Aren't you cooking anymore? And they got on me, you know. So I found out I have a following wanting to know what I cook for dinner every day. And I went into a local hardware store, and the owner was back in the back corner of the store, and he looked up and he saw me, and he just hollered across the store, what's for dinner, you know? So I'm having fun with it, and like I said, I enjoy barbecue, and I like talking about it. So, and I like talking, as you can tell.
Well, you know, and that's key to being, you know, a salesperson, right? I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. That's true. A lot of times, it's just listening to people and filling their needs, and that's sales. You don't have to be pushy. You don't have to be hard. You can just show them a product and see if it fills a need for them. And if not, find out the need they have and try to fill it. And that's what I do. And it works sometimes, and other times it doesn't. Sometimes I wish it worked better. I could sure use more money, but I'm having fun.
Well, and that's what matters. And, you know, your story, you mentioned just posting something and getting in the habit of it. It's kind of funny. It reminds me a lot of Ken and Patty Fisher of Date Night Doings, their blog, how that started, and and you know, how it's grown into this kind of juggernaut that, you know, Ken called me the other day, and I can't believe the number of hits he gets, and he just posts, you know, recipes and just has fun with it. But the key is he has fun with it. It just, he writes from the heart. It may be technically accurate, or you know, King standard English prose. But the, all that matters is he writes from the heart, and you do as well. And I think that's conveyed very well in your blog.
Thank you. The other thing about the blog is you can get your stats, and it says where your hits are coming from and what countries. And I'm amazed. Obviously, the most of my hits were from the United States, but second on that list is Russia. I couldn't believe it. I'm getting hits. And, you know, I've gotten about 200 hits from Russia. I don't know how I translate, but somehow they're liking what I'm saying in Russia.
You need to work on some smoked borscht.
I thought of trying to cook something with vodka. I like vodka anyway, so I've got to come up with something, maybe add some vodka to a sauce or something. It's for my Russian followers.
Oh, man. So, Don, I mean, are you looking at maybe, you know, as time goes on, extending outside the St. Louis area, or are you going to kind of focus there
well,
in St. Louis?
You know, I'll take it wherever it leads. First thing I got to do is go to do a good job in St. Louis, and then once I can do that, then I can look in other areas. But right now, I just need to do. I want to get St. Louis covered and covered well, and then I can stretch out a little bit and see if maybe it can grow from there. But it's such an early stage. You know, I just started doing this spring with the Mojo Bricks in the spring. And so it's so early in, I don't know where it's going to lead, but I'll take it wherever it wants to go. I'm having fun, so I'll ride this wave as far as it'll go.
Yeah,
maybe
no
I can
doubt.
Be like, here's my dream. How about this? Maybe I can be like Myron Mixon or Ray Lampe.
There you go.
And become a corporate sponsor like that and be on Pitmasters, you know, that would be neat. I would enjoy that. But I really have a face for radio. I don't know how I do on TV. But when I see Ray Lampe and Myron Mixon, I figure, well, hell, I don't look any worse for wear than those guys, so I can do that.
That's right. They are not pretty men. I think you're okay, Don.
No, and I'm in the age way. I'm older than Myron, and I'm younger than Johnny Craig, so I fall in between.
Oh, there you
I don't
go.
Know I don't know Ray's age, but I fall in between. So I enjoy watching those guys, and they really give me inspiration to do this too, and to try to stretch it out. Because I quite honestly, I look at them and say, well, they're not doing anything I couldn't do.
Right.
And you can tell what they do is they do it because they enjoy it. They're having fun.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's what I'm doing, and I would love to take it on farther.
Well, cool. You know, what we got to do, Don, is, you know, you're just about 3 hours up the road from me. We got to do a competition, man. We got to get together. I'll come up and I'll wash your dishes, man.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm not a big dishwasher, so if anybody wants to wash dishes, I'll get out of the way and let them do it. We do. We need to get meet up sometime and cook together and see what we can do. I really enjoy the competitions. Right now, it's a little bit tough because today in St. Louis, it was 102, and it's been over 100 for like 12 or 13 days of July. So the weather's been a little tough around here. I'm going to do a contest, kind of a backyard type contest in August in Clarksville, Missouri, and it's not a sanctioned event. But a lot of times I like the non-sanctioned event because it's not as structured. Not as that 2-day thing is a little tough.
Yeah,
getting there Friday night and cooking all night, and I don't have that pellet grill that, you know, set it and leave it. So I got to watch those drums a little bit, It's a little tough to stay up all night and just go on a couple hours sleep. That makes competition barbecue work.
I agree. You bring up the non-sanctioned events, and we've had that conversation with the company and as a team of late, where, you know, we enjoy those non-sanctioned events a lot more. I mean, significantly more than the KCBS stuff. No, the money's not there, you know, and it would be nice to have more prize money at the unsanctioned stuff. But you know what? It's nice to go have fun, too, you know?
Yeah, and I, you know, even the sanctioned ones, they have money. But I don't really think anybody's doing competition barbecue for the money. I just don't think it. I think there's got to be a better business plan out there than to try to be a competitive barbecuer and make a living doing it, unless you can get some real big corporate sponsors and go that way. But just for the normal guy to go out there and try to make it where it pays, it's not going to happen. So you better have fun doing it. And I just enjoy that one-day competition. This one I'm doing is just chicken wings, chicken thighs, and ribs. It's a one-day contest. I got to plug another customer, Jack's Tailgaters. I'm excited about doing the wings because by then I should have some of his product. And I want to try some of that sauces he has and see if I can inspire some people to love some wings. So that's where I can do a little learning, do a little talking, and maybe introduce a product to some people.
Yeah. And, you know, not to give away some of the secrets, but let's just say – there's some Jack's products that mixes awfully, awfully well with our products. Look at their hot sauces and play around with our sauce a little bit. And man, they Tracy has some great products. And beyond that, he's just one of the best people on the planet. He's a good guy.
I really enjoyed my conversation when I talked to him and talked about working together. I could tell, like I said, I've been doing this a long time, and there's things people say and how they conduct themselves, and you can tell when they're sincere and when they're on the ball, and you get that when you talk to Tracy.
Right.
I'm excited about getting his product. He's got a wide range of things too. There's going to be a lot of things I can talk about and introduce, and I'm excited about getting this product. But yeah, I'm excited about all my products.
Yeah,
I'm excited about what anybody wants to buy.
You know what I love about his line is that he probably, and you mentioned, he has the most well-rounded line of any company I've ever seen. I mean, if you don't want his sauce, great. He's got chilix. If you don't want his chilix, great. He's got dip mix. If you don't want his dip mix, got, you know, soup mix or whatever. But he's got something for everybody. And it really, as a distributor, has got to be great for you.
Yeah, because it just gives me more things to talk about. And, you know, you can say no to one thing, and of course you say no to that, I put something else out. Or maybe I'll walk in the door and they'll say that I'm looking for a soup mix or a chili mix. He does a chili. Or maybe they'll get excited about the wing sauces he does, and that kind of stuff. It just helps me open the door, and it helps. And like I said, it helps everybody. The one thing I am looking for, if anybody's doing it, is I've had some calls for like the accessory part of the barbecue industry, tongs, baskets, mops, all those type of things. I'm having some calls for that. That I'm looking for somebody that does that for the accessory type thing, thermometers, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think maybe I could do some good with it. I'll just give a shout out, see if anybody wants to contact me. I think maybe I could introduce you, bring your product out, and sell some of it.
Well, that's an awesome thing to throw out there, and I'll definitely promote that. Unfortunately, on the accessory side, the ones I mainly use are grill grates and meat rakes, and you got both of those. And I don't know anybody that's not a large company personally doing the tongs and stuff. But, you know, I'm with it. Good accessories, when you got a knife you love or a set of tongs that just works, man, worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, my tongs, I guard up with my life because I enjoy them. They work well. They feel right in my hand, and I they're mine. I put them away, and I'm the one that uses them. I got my special place where I put all my barbecue gear, and my wife, she doesn't even get in there. You know, she'll ask me, can I get your thermal pit? You know, that's my barbecue stuff. I guard it like it's gold.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Hey, I was kind of scanning over the chat room here because I lost focus there for a second. Trying to catch up. We haven't thrown in as much stuff from these guys, but I did see Canadian Bacon threw in there that they used Mojo Bricks to win their last GC. So there you go, man.
Wow. Oh yeah, and we hear that a lot. I've got two teams that here in St. Louis that both have won grand championships with Mojo Bricks. It's just neat. The one was Canadian Bacon, Alan Bowman, and then there's another team here, Bill Grinko, with Block Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. Bill won back-to-back grand champions, and when I went up and talked to him, he told me, voluntarily told me that he uses the Mojo Bricks, and that made me feel good. He is a excellent pit master, and he's one of those good guys in this industry too, or in this, I don't call this a sport, I call it an activity, competitive activity. I don't consider myself an athlete, but he just shares. That's probably the most amazing thing that I found about barbecue people, even the competitors, is their willingness to share and tell you and help you get better. It's amazing. Maybe that's because there's not a lot of money in it, and so, you know, they figure it's not going to make any difference, you know. But they will tell you, they will give you little tips and secrets that they do, and to make you a better cook. And it's not all. It's a very friendly group of people. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I think at its core, it all starts with love, right? You can do this unless you love it. It's just too hard. There's no money in it. It's a pain in the butt. So you just got to have to do it, and then that love kind of permeates everything, you know?
Yeah, it does, and I've made some real good friends. I look forward to going to a contest and seeing the guys, and, you know, talking a little smack with them and seeing what's going on, but it's all good, friendly competition, and it's fun, and when they win, I have a lot of. I feel very happy to applaud them and cheer them on. I get a kick out of it when it's somebody I know and like, and they get that call. I'm clapping real loud for them because I like it. It's fun.
Yeah, you know that's the best thing about barbecues, and I'll do it too. Talk trash, you know, rib each other. You know what? I always want to be I want to be the first dude who shakes your hand or pats you on the back when you walk off that stage. I feel like that's my responsibility to do that to anybody that wins, you know? And I think most barbecues are like that.
Yeah. Well, me being a little bit of a smart aleck, I always have to tell them that, you know, it was that Mojo Bricks or that sauce. Or, you know, if it wasn't for that mood enhancer, you never got that Collin brisket, you know? I can always tell them that I was there helping them out. All their technique. It was something I did for them. They don't buy it, but I tell them that anyway.
That's right.
So it's just fun. It's a lot of good people. A lot of good people.
So,
that's what made me
want to
do it.
I totally agree. So speaking of secrets and sharing, man, what's you've been doing this for a couple of years now. What's some nuggets of advice you would give to maybe people who are just getting started in barbecue competitions?
Probably the biggest thing I tell them is to jump in. I wrote on my blog about Alan and cooking everything on one pit. If you think that you go to these competitions and there are all these big $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 pits and big top of, you know, chefs and all that. It's not. There's guys like me out there with 55-gallon drums and a Weber Performer that's doing it. So jump in. Don't be afraid of it. And practice at home with your cooks. Get your timeline down and learn that. That's probably the hardest thing about a competition is getting your food ready to turn in on time and not get it done too soon or too late and take notes and write down your timelines. And that's just done by practicing in your backyard. And it doesn't have to be hard. And once you do that, then you just look at your first competition as you want to meet every turn-in and then see what happens. And you may be surprised. You will definitely be surprised. A lot of times that's all you have to do, and you'll get a call, you know. And then you're bit. Then you're hooked. If you get a call the first time you go out, you're hooked.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot like golf. I think people go out and you try to hit the ball, and you're like, oh, if I could just hit the ball straight. And then you hit the ball straight, and you're like, well, if I could just get it kind of in on the green. And then you do that, and then it's all over. Then you spend the rest of your time playing golf trying to figure out how to be better at it. And it's the same addiction.
Yeah. Well, that's where the Barbecue Brethren Forum really came through for me. And there's a lot of other ones out there. But if you just ask questions, if you would go there and just ask a question about what you're trying to do, I mean, you can go on that forum and say, how do you get bite through skin on kick? And you will be amazed at how many people will just start telling you what they do to achieve that. If you're going to cook a brisket, what's the best way to do a brisket or a pork butt? You will learn all sorts of little techniques that they're doing. 3 years ago, if you were to talk to me, and I thought I loved the barbecue, been barbecuing since forever. If you were to talk about a pellet grill, I didn't know what that was. So I didn't know a pellet grill. But, everything was charcoal or gas. But you can learn so much once you get into it. And there's all sorts of little secrets and tips, wrapping your meat, when to wrap it, and just ask questions. And if you get a chance to cook with somebody that's in a competition, just go, and like you say, wash dishes, you'll learn a ton, and you'll have fun.
Yeah, I recommend that to anybody. Going out with a team, don't be in their way. Offer to wash stuff and just ask some questions, and then go home and try to emulate what you saw, and, you'll pick up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, if you go and tell a guy, hey, I'll be there and help you unload and load, and because that's the hardest part for the cooks after you cooked all day, loading up the truck again, and offer to run the boxes into the judges, whatever he needs, and then just stand there and watch them do what they do, you will learn so much, because like you say, then go home and try it yourself. Yeah,
right.
It's not rocket science. All we're doing here is cooking.
Right.
It's not rocket science. Everybody's learned how to do it. And you can get good and start making some pretty good barbecue pretty quick.
I agree. Well, Don, we're down to about our last minute and a half, 2 minutes with you. I want to give you opportunity to promote, your blog and, Twitter and let people know they can get in touch with you if they've got a product. So give everybody those links, if you will.
Well, I'm on Twitter at Pardon. My blog is donsgrilling.blogspot.com, and then my email is dkpar@gmail.com, and those are probably, and then I'm on Facebook. So, and then if that don't work, call Shane. He knows how to get a hold of me.
Yeah, Shane knows everything.
So Shane can always tell you how to get a hold of me, or he'll get a hold of me and tell me to call you. So, but that's it. But I'm having fun doing it. And if somebody's got a product that they're looking to get in the St. Louis market, give me a holler and I'll see what we can work out. And I'm always looking.
Very cool. Well, Don, I appreciate taking the time. You're a busy guy, and I know doing this, like I said, was a little bit of your comfort zone, but you did a great job.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me, and I'm sure we'll be talking again. We'll get together
and
barbecue sometime.
We certainly will. I can't wait, man.
All right. Thanks, Shane.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Well, as you guys heard, Don, great cat, man. I love Don. He's got such a passion for what he does, for me as a businessman, and also for all of barbecue. I mean, it's my reasons for liking him are obviously a bit selfish because he's done so well for us as a company. But anyone can appreciate his passion for the industry and for the sport, and we appreciate him. You know, guys like Don. Now we mentioned Ernie Rupp being just like the MVP of Draper's Barbecue lately. I mean, guys like that, man. I tell you what. Every team needs a Don and Ernie because they make life a lot easier, man. I'm thankful we've got both on our team, and they do a world of work for us, and they do a world of help and help me keep rolling this ball up the hill. And that's a tough thing some days. But got one more read to fit in. We'll hit that, and we'll play around in the chat for a little bit. We talked about pits all night. Guys, don't overlook the Gorilla. If you're looking for a barbecue pit that can do everything from smoke to grill, but don't have a lot of room on the patio, check out the Gorilla Smoker Grill. The unit takes up about the same space as Big Green Egg, and it does everything from smoke to grill very, very well. See, some of the best steaks I've ever had on it. That Gorilla gets used constantly. I've burned probably 350 pounds of pellets through it. It's begging for more. It's a great little unit. I love it. It's got a unique design, tons of features. It's one of the hottest pits on the market. We've had ours for about 6-9 months. You know, but that the easy swing lid's very unique. The auto ignition is fantastic. I jump out of my truck, turn it on, go get the food. By the time I come back, boom, it's ready to go, and I flip it to whatever temp I want and throw the meat on, and it just works. It's got a great little easy pellet swap out feature where you can dump your pellets and put in a new flavor if you want real quickly. I've timed it. I can swap out a 25-pound or a 20-pound bag of pellets in about a minute and a half. It just works. Very good stuff. Got a cool little fire chamber viewing glass that's in the shape of a gorilla. And you can see the flames, you kind of dance in there in the Gorilla. Very, very neat. It's got 5-inch easy row wheels, and I tell you what, all that just makes this unit awesome. Check them out. www.mygorilla.com. That's www.mygorilla.com. Drop them a line. Check out what we've wrote about them at drapersbarbecue.com. And, you know, we've done some side-by-side comparisons with the Gorilla and the Big Green Egg and went point to point down the list of, you know, what each does well. So if you're looking for a unit that's fully assembled, shipping's included in the price, and if you want to be the star of your backyard, get you a Gorilla. They're great pits. Can't say anything bad about them. All right, so we're down to the last couple minutes in the show, folks. Kind of want to roll back in and see what all's been said in the chat. We've had a pretty chat room tonight. You guys have been pretty talkative, except for Wayne talking about his, you know, sex toys or whatever, and then that made it all weird, and people, you know, were quiet for a minute. Other than that, you know, that thing went crazy. Cat. You know what? Next week, speaking of Wayne, you know, bad about the guy and then plug him, right? Wayne has a series where each week he has one of the contestants from the Pitmasters T show come on and kind of tell about their experience in their own words. You need to read that. If you wanted to know what it's really like to do something like that, you need to read that. Those guys are very candid, very complimentary of their experience, of course, but they're also very honest about what happened. In conjunction with that, I think we're going to start trying to have those releases come out the same day, like on each Wednesday if we can, maybe even Tuesday, you know, the day before. And I'm going to try to have the contestant that released the article on Wayne's site on the show. So I can kind of Q&A them and maybe have Wayne Q&A them and talk about their experience. I've been in talks with Hank Vaden to have him come on a Cotton Patch cooking crew or barbecue, or I forget which it is. Hank's a fantastic guy, Between you and me, I feel like he got a bit of a raw deal scoring-wise. I don't know. The way I saw it, he lost by about a point, and I don't know. I thought he put out a good product from what I could see. Of course, I wasn't there to taste it. But I'd love to have Hank on, and he's scheduled for next week to tell his side of the story. So be on the lookout for that. I think Hank's got a lot to say. He's looking for an outlet to say it, and he wants people to know what that's all about. So I think that'll be a really, really cool thing to check out. Also, check out DrapersBarbecue.com. We got this three-part series for GMG. First two parts were posted today. Ernie did a great review of the smaller GMG. Mike did a long-term review. And then we got Jason to agree to do a third piece, Jason from GMG, to do a third piece on his take on what was written. So, you know what? I don't know that that's ever been done in quite that manner, where you, the reader, get a review that's written from, I've never seen this pellet pit before, I've used it one time, here's my impressions. I've lived this pellet pit for the better part of a year. I put it for hell and back. Here's my impressions of it. And then from manufacturer saying, well, boys, here's what you said. Here's what we have to say as a rebuttal. I don't know if that's been done. If it has, I just haven't seen it. But I'm going to take credit for it just like it's never been done anyway, because you know what? That's the kind of guy I am. Ask anybody. All right, guys, it's been a great show. I appreciate you hanging out with us. You all stayed, you know, through the whole time. Chat room's been full, so I know we've had a lot of listeners the whole time. It's been great. I really appreciate you being here. The show numbers are back up. I know around 4th of July we dipped a little bit because I was a late bastard, and we're back on it. We're getting a good show, getting you good info, and hope you guys can consume it, make use of it, and go out there and rule the barbecue world. See, Andy posted he has an interview with Jason from GG on his site, Rooftop Barbecue, spell out barbecue with a Q, .com. So check that out. Check out Andy Allen Rooftop. Check out Big Ben Wilson with Q Bones. Both great products. Go check out Ernie Rupp, Q's Your Daddy on Twitter. Check out Mike Owens, I call him a right-hand man, but he's probably a little bit more than that because I beat him up too much, so he probably deserves a better plug. Get with Don Parr. That dude's he's a great entrepreneur. He's a great salesman, and he's just a good guy. So some products that may be worth time, so go check them out. All right, folks, I'm close it out because I need a beer or something. It's kind of hot here in the house. Could use some liquid refreshment. And my throat's getting dry. So, love, peace, and hair grease, folks. And or is it? It's pork grease, isn't it? Love, peace, and pork grease. Something like that. And until next week, what do we want to play? What do we want to play? What do we want to play? I think we need a little bit of. What have we not played in forever? Ooh, Uncle Ted. Let's play some Stranglehold. All right. See you next week, folks.